This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Hey guys, good morning. That was a good song. Coldplay. But the lyrics were good too. You guys probably remember back in January, I had the really awesome opportunity to go to Thailand, and it was a great time. I was there about a week, and one of the highlights of our trip was we went to this little village that was located in this province known as Uthai Thani. I'm gonna quiz you on that in a few minutes. But Uthai Thani is quite a place. It's a lot different from Bangkok. Of course, Bangkok is very modern, very fast-paced, you know, just lots of energy. And Uthai Thani is just the opposite of that. I mean, it's they don't have most of the modern conveniences of Bangkok. It's very remote, very very rural, and it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they didn't even have a Starbucks there. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it was mind-blowing. It really was. And in all seriousness, it was almost like going back in time a little bit. It was really something, quite an experience. But I'll never forget that village because it was there that I had, I would say, probably one of the most memorable experiences of my entire trip in Thailand. In fact, just to sort of give you an idea to sort of set the tone for this story I'm about to share with you, let me show you. This is the house that we stayed in, which is actually a really nice house, especially compared to where and how most of the people live in this area. I mean, it's pretty nice, and so we stayed here. We were dead tired. I'll never forget. We had slept about 3 hours the night before. We had just been on an airplane for 19 hours. We were just dog tired, exhausted, and so we went to the house. We hung out a little bit. We had a nice dinner and took some time to just sort of sit outside and look at the stars because you can actually see stars in a place like that. And finally, you know, after just getting to this place where you could hardly keep our eyes open, I mean, our eyes were just sagging, you know, we finally decided, okay, we got to go to bed. So we went inside, called a night. We went up and slept on our little mattresses with the mosquito tents on top of it and all that because you don't want those mosquitoes. They're like demon possessed in Thailand. You do not want to get bit by one of those. So anyway, went to sleep, and about 3:30 in the morning, I woke up for the reason that a lot of us wake up at 3:30 in the morning. I had to pray. No, I had to pee, actually. I did. I really did. And it's funny because I was really hoping that wouldn't happen. I was hoping that wouldn't happen because here's why. Let me show you. This is the bathroom. Yes, and so I was really hoping that somehow, like, God would supernaturally do something in here so that wouldn't have to happen. Unfortunately, that didn't occur. And as you can see, this is a lot different from what we have in our homes, right? Hopefully. If you have this in your home, you just let it, we're going to help you, okay? We're going to help you. But you know, so it was quite an ordeal for me. It's something I was hoping to keep, you know, at a bare minimum. But I'll tell you, not only was it an ordeal, but it was even more of an ordeal in the middle of the night because this was outside, and it was dark in this village. I mean, I'm talking pitch black dark, okay, which meant that it was really hard. Obviously, you can see where you're going. And so 3:30 in the morning, really dark, and so I grabbed the one light source that I knew I had, which was my cell phone. Grabbed my cell phone. I walked down the stairs of this house trying to be really quiet, full of people, you know, and trying to be as quiet as I can be, put my flip-flops on, because for one, you just don't ever walk barefoot in Thailand, ever, okay? And so I unlatched the door, opened it up, had my cell phone in my hand to kind of see where I'm going, made my way to the bathroom, did what you do there, and I walked back to the front door of the house. I reached for the handle, and when suddenly I realized that I was locked out of the house, somehow the door had latched behind me, and I thought I heard it, but I wasn't sure. And this was not a good thing, okay, for so many reasons, okay, because for one, the house was full of people sleeping, and there was no way that I was going to, like, start banging on the door. You know, I'm not going to do that. And so I decided I was just going to wait. I'll just wait outside. So I took my cell phone, found this concrete slab, and sat down on it. And it was really cold. It was starting to get cold out, too. And so, you know, I had shorts and a t-shirt on. I'm thinking, okay, that's all right. I can put my arms in there and, you know, just kind of, I can, you know, I mean, maybe I can make a fire if I have to. I don't know. You know, Bear does it. So, I mean, there's got to be a way to do it. And so anyway, and besides, I thought, you know, this might not be a big deal because someone's going to have to do this. Someone's going to have to walk out and go to the bathroom. I mean, you know, I mean, this is going to happen. Well, apparently not. Because guess who is sitting on that stinking thing 3 hours later? Me, on this cold concrete slab. The only thing is, I had a little friend at that point, this dog that showed up. And the dogs in Thailand really have some issues, okay? Let me tell you. They have these diseases where they have, like, hardly any hair. And so, I mean, they have hair in certain places, then other places they don't. And they're walking around and they just scratch themselves all the time. Some of you women are like, yeah, that sounds like my husband. And so anyway, so this dog had come up, you know, and like, first of all, you're thinking, oh, dear God, like, am I going to get rabies or what? And so a dog comes up and he literally jumps up on this thing and he puts his head on my leg and goes to sleep. Yeah, well, that might sound cute, but you didn't see this dog, okay? But it did warm me a little bit. It did warm me, so that was nice. So anyway, so I'm sitting there, this dog's laying on my leg. No one's coming out of the house. I mean, I'm sitting there going, okay, just dead silence. And I mean, and the noises, that jungle kind of noises, like, I mean, I really thought I was going to have quite an evening, you know? So anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I kid you not, and I'm embarrassed to even admit this to anybody. I'm sitting there, finally, after about 3 hours, I think to myself, you know, Scott, maybe you should pray. And so I did. I prayed, God, could you do something here? I'm cold. I'm tired. There's a dog on my leg. He smells, okay? And I kid you not, like 5 minutes later, a light goes on in the house. And so, of course, you feel really spiritual when that happens, you know? Yeah. And so anyway, so I ran up. I looked inside the house, and there she was, the lady that owned the house, a little cute little Thai lady. She's from Thailand. She's Thai. And so I knocked on the door. I knocked on the door real light, and finally, after getting her attention, she walks over to the to unlock the door or to the locked door, and she looks out and she sees me standing there like this complete moron from America, you know. And I'm standing there, and she looks at me, and she goes like this, and she points to her right, and I kid you not, I swear, she starts laughing at me, and which confused me until I realized why she was laughing. Okay, well, apparently what she was pointing at was another door that was less than 10 feet away from the door that was locked, that was not only unlocked, but was wide open the entire night. And so she doesn't even unlock it. She walks out that door, comes around, and, and says something in Thai, and I follow her, and of course, with just shame and humility, I put on the best fake smile that you can. And I went inside and went back to sleep and tried to forget about that whole experience. And it was quite a time. And it's funny because the next day, you know, there's people like saying little Thai stuff to each other and going, and I'm not sure, but I think they were talking about me. But, you know, think about this for a second. How many times do we do this in our lives? I mean, we're standing in front of a closed door. We're standing in front of a locked door, trying to figure out how to get it open. And right next to it is a door that is wide open that we don't even see because we've become so fixated on the door that's closed. I mean, I'm telling you, navigating through the doors of our lives can be just downright challenging sometimes, can't it? I mean, it can be tough. And yet, the need for learning how to navigate through these doors, it's not going to go away. Because our life's like a series of doors, aren't they? Which door do I take? Which means, really, that we have to just learn how to journey through those doors well. And really, what it all comes down to, we learned last week, and what it really all comes down to is decision-making. How do we make the right kind of decisions? And so that's what this series, Doors, is all about. We started it last Sunday. It's a 3-week series, and we're talking about decision-making. And I'll tell you, part of the reason I think that this series is one that so many people can relate to is because, for one, we all have to make decisions in our life, don't we? All of us. I mean, we're constant. Our life is just full of decisions. I mean, as kids, when we're kids, we're teenagers, as adults, as parents. I mean, just think about all the decisions we make in our lifetime. I mean, you can't even count them. I mean, heck, think about all the decisions you make in one day. You know, of course, you got the small decisions, little ones you don't really probably put a whole lot of thought into. Hopefully, you don't really think too hard about these things. You know, do I take a shower today or not? Actually, I hope you don't even think about that, okay? I just hope you do it. There are some decisions that are no-brainers. But, you know, there's a small decision. What movie should I go to? Should I, you know, should we go to this restaurant or that restaurant? What am I in the mood for? Should I wash my car today or should I wait? I mean, but then, okay, on the other side of the spectrum, we've got all these big macro decisions, don't we? The big ones. I mean, who should I marry? You know, should I go to this college or this one? Should I buy this house over here? Or should I buy this one that maybe is a little more affordable, but we know it's not going to sell as well down the road? I mean, what should we do? What job should I take? And the bottom line is we are all faced with decisions every day of our lives, and you just can't get away from that. And, of course, not only are we all faced with decisions, but the fact is, and I think it's safe to say that all of us really want to make good decisions, don't we? I mean, I don't know if anybody that says, oh, yeah, I get a kick out of making bad decisions. It's hilarious. I love it. No, none of us want to make bad decisions. And because, for one, we all know what it feels like when we make good decisions, don't we? It feels good, doesn't it? Maybe you're not sure, and you're, okay, should I walk to the store or not? And you walk through the door, and you realize, okay, whew, that was a good choice. That was a good decision. Okay, I feel pretty good. And yet, on the other hand, we all know what it's like when we make those bad decisions. And sometimes you don't even know it right away. You walk through that door that you weren't sure about, and maybe you were kind of feeling not so good about it, or sometimes, you know how our heads and our hearts get in conflict sometimes? You know, your heart's like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do, and your head's going, no way, don't do it. And so anyway, so we know what it's like when we make those wrong decisions, and of course, no one likes how that feels. And see, here's the thing. The goal of our lives, it's not, I don't think, to become perfect decision makers. I don't think that should be our goal, because for one, it's just not going to happen. I mean, no matter how good you get at making decisions, there's going to be times that you just downright mess up. You're going to make a wrong choice. That's going to happen. So the goal isn't necessarily to become perfect, but I think it should be to at least learn how to make fewer and fewer bad ones. Okay, or maybe a better way of saying it is that our goal in life should be to become and grow to become better and better and better at making decisions. And hopefully, a year from now, I can look back and say, I have learned to make better decisions. And 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I can look back and say, I'm doing better. I seem to be making better decisions. And then I'll tell you, the reason that I think this is so important for our lives is because of what seems to happen in so many people's lives. And you've probably seen people like this, know people like this. And that is this, is that most people usually end up going one of two ways when it comes to this whole decision thing in their lives. They usually go one of two ways. And even though they might miss it now and then, you've got the group of people, those people who just seem to make better and better decisions all the time. And yeah, they might miss it here and there, but they are learning, they are improving, and as a result, over time, it's like they sort of develop this pattern of good decision making. I mean, we all know people like that. Or they go the opposite direction. There's the other kind of individual who ends up like slipping into this dangerous pattern of bad decision making. I mean, have you ever known anyone like that before? And I have. And I'm not talking about just the occasional bad call where they just do something and it's like, I'm talking about those people who seem to literally make one bad decision after another. And, I mean, to the degree that it almost becomes predictable in their lives. I mean, you know of anyone like that? I mean, I do. I know people like this. And it's horrible because it's like you're just waiting to see, like, what's the next decision they're going to make that's going to be bad? And like you want to help them, but maybe the door's not open to help them. Maybe they haven't invited you into their life. I mean, for whatever reason. And so you're sitting there and you're going, man, it just seems like one after another. And I'll tell you, it stinks to watch it happen. Because ultimately, it does become a pattern in people's lives. And you know this as well as I do. There are always consequences to our decisions, aren't there? Always. You may not experience them right now, but somewhere down the road, you are going to probably experience the consequence of your bad decision. Always. And what's worse than, I think, even the consequence itself is the amount of time and potential that's wasted trying to fix or recover from whatever mess those bad decisions created in our lives. And instead of using that time to fulfill God's best for our life, what happens is we end up living far below the potential that God's put inside of us because we are so busy trying to clean up after every bad decision we make, and we just never live up to the potential God's called us to. And see, that's why God really does care about our decisions. And I know sometimes there, those of us who might think, you know, well, whatever happens in my life must be God's will. So, you know, I'm just not even going to really try that hard. And we think, you know, well, if I make a bad decision, that must be what God wanted. Well, you know what? No, that's not quite biblical there. No, God has created us as not as robots. He's created us as human beings with the ability to make the decision to choose. I mean, and so he cares about the decisions we make. In fact, not only does he care, but he really wants to help us learn how to make great decisions. Every one of us in this room, he wants to help us make great decisions. Because great decisions, listen, this is so important. Great decisions bring great blessing into our lives. Did you hear what I said? Great decisions bring great blessing into our lives. And the reason that God blesses us is so that we can be a blessing to others. I mean, I can't bless someone else if I have not been blessed. And so when we make great decisions, God blesses us. And because we were created to be a blessing to others, man, when you start making great decisions in your life, you're going to find that you are blessed and that you're going to have a lot more potential for making a difference in someone else's life. I see sometimes we want to spiritualize this. We want to say, well, you know, We experience maybe something in our lives that we want to blame, you know, could it be Satan? You know, and I think what happens is we tend to look at the consequences in our lives, and rather than go, you know what, actually probably the chances are the reason I'm experiencing this is because of a bad decision I made. Listen, let me tell you something. I talk to a lot of people all the time who are dealing with a lot of tough things in their life, and there are times in our lives when you'll make every decision, it'll be the right one, and you will still experience pain. There will be times that you'll be hearing from God, you're walking through the right doors, and there will still be pain, that happens sometimes, and there's really nothing you can do about that. But I'm going to tell you something, I would guess that probably 90% of the issues that people deal with in their lives is not Satan, is not just life. I think most of the time it is actually because of bad decisions that they've made, and now they're dealing with the consequences. And I know that's tough to hear. I know it is because no one likes to take responsibility for bad decisions. Deuteronomy chapter 30, I think you really see God's attitude towards our decision making. Let me show you this. Deuteronomy chapter 30 from the Old Testament. And God says this. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Which one do I want? Let's see, life and death. Life's good. Blessing and curses. Let me just think about that. Okay, blessing. And he says, and he goes on to say, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. That's heavy right there. I call on heaven. I mean, when's that time God said that to you? Hey, listen, I call on heaven and earth to witness what you're about to do. Ooh, that's heavy. He says, oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Man, I just love the heart of God right here. He says, hey, you have a choice to make. I'm not going to control you. You have a choice. You can choose to do right. You can choose to do wrong. And one way is going to bring blessing in your life. The other way is going to bring cursing. And I'm not going to force you to go either way, because if I start doing that, then you're now robots and you are not, you know, I didn't create you to be robots. I created you to be people who can make choices, because I know that if you can make choices, you can make the choice to love me, and we can really have a relationship here. And God says, I've given you that ability, and then he says, he even tells us which one to choose, for Pete's sake. He says, okay, so choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants might live. I mean, God is really serious about wanting us to make the right kind of decisions in our life. But of course, the big question is, how do we do that? I mean, we can read a scripture like this and go, you know, that sounds good, but I mean, what does that look like in my everyday life? How do I position myself to where I really am making the right kind of decisions? Well, I think maybe the first thing we need to do is figure out the difference between the people who make great decisions and the people who don't make great decisions. What's the difference in their lives? I mean, is it that the person who makes great decisions, is it that they're just a lot smarter than the people who make poor decisions? I mean, is it that they literally have a higher IQ or that they're just smarter and somehow they just have figured out how to make great decisions? Or could it be that they're more spiritual? I mean, is there some kind of like spiritual BlackBerry that I'm going to carry around and I can just kind of text to God and say, hey, God, I got to make a decision. What should I do? I mean, what is it? Well, I'll tell you, I don't think it's either one of those, because here's the thing. Most of the people I know who get stuck in the rut of bad decision-making, can I tell you, most of those people are very smart. Very smart. So I don't think it's necessarily that they're smarter. And I don't think that it's because they're more spiritual either, because here's the thing. I know people who live a pattern of making great decisions who don't give a rip about God. And who would say, you know what, I don't even consider myself a spiritual person. And yet at the same time, I know people who really love God and do their best to grow in their relationship with him. And they have 5 Bibles, and they can pray real well, and they can quote a lot of scripture and all of that. But they still find themselves in a place of making one bad decision after another. So I don't think it's because people might be smarter, because they're more spiritual. Well then, Scott, what in the heck is it? Well, let me tell you what I think it is. Here's what I think, and this is going to be really deep, okay? So you might want to just hold on to the side of your chair right now. You'd be blown away, okay? Here's the deal. The one major element that seems to distinguish the great decision makers from the not so great decision makers, are you ready for this? Here's what it is, I think. People. People. I'm serious, people, but not just any old people, okay? I'm talking about those people who are standing by the doors of our life. You know what they're called? They're called doormen. Doormen. I mean, think about it. Or maybe in some cases, door women. Had to get that out there because someone will email me if I don't say that. Or door people. That way we cover all the bases. Okay. But think about what a doorman does. Think about a doorman for a second. If you go to some nice apartments in Chicago, maybe in New York, or you go to a nice hotel, you got the doormen, right, who are standing there, and the doormen are there, and they're there near the door at all times, right? They're there to help you. They're there to direct you through the right doors. I mean, the bottom line is doormen are on your side. I mean, they want to make your life easier. They want to assist you. I mean, their number one goal is to help you get through the right door. And see, here's the deal in our lives, okay? You show me someone who has the right kind of doormen around them in their lives, okay? And I'm talking about people who they have empowered and given permission to speak into their lives and to give counsel and direction to when it's time to make those big decisions, okay? And I'm going to show you someone who is far less likely to walk through the wrong doors and make bad decisions in their life. And on the other hand, okay, you show me someone who, for whatever reason, I know there's a million reasons why people don't do this, but you show me someone who thinks that they have in and of themselves enough smarts to make decisions on their own without any help, without any counsel, without any direction in their life, and I will show you someone who is far more likely to not just make one bad decision, but who will eventually find themselves sliding down a very slippery slope of bad decision-making that will eventually end up bringing tons of trouble and pain and hurt into their lives that they just don't need. And the bottom line is, we all need doormen in our lives. And I'll tell you, this is not just the case when it comes to our personal, individual lives. I mean, it's true when it comes to our spiritual lives. I mean, if you really want to become all that God wants you to become, you need doormen in your life. Your work life. I mean, your leadership role in life, whether you're leading a corporation, a church, your family, I mean, whatever that leadership is, you need doormen in your life. And I'll tell you, I can honestly say that in my own life, in my own leadership, God has constantly surrounded me with some great doormen. I'm telling you, I feel so blessed. And you know what? Maybe it's not even right to say God has surrounded me, because that can imply that there was nothing I had to do, because there are things we have to do to get those kind of people around us. God has brought those people, and I think he brings those people to all of us, but there's been decisions that I've had to make to say, you know what? I'm going to open my heart up. I'm going to open my life up and allow those people to become doormen in my life. And I'll tell you, the people who are around me in my life are people who believe in me. They are people who love me. They are people who are for me. I mean, they are people who want to see me succeed in my life. And can I tell you something? As the lead pastor of this church, okay, even though I recognize that it's my responsibility to make sure that we're moving the direction God's called us to and to find out, God, what's your big picture vision for the Orchard? Let me tell you something. I don't think I can ever point to a time in my leadership when I've made a major, major leadership decision on my own without taking time to get feedback, counsel, input from other leaders, other people in my life, in the church, outside the church, somewhere in my life. I just don't do that. Because for one, I'm just not all that smart. Don't agree with that. Thank you for not. Actually, you were actually supposed to laugh. They're heavier than that. Because no, but here's the thing. Some of you who are business owners, or maybe you lead a company or corporation, whatever you might do, maybe in your home, you know, look, making solo decisions can be downright scary sometimes. Especially when you know that if you make the wrong one, it could impact a lot of people's lives in a way that could be a real trouble. And so it can be scary to make big solo decisions solo on your own. Plus, the way I look at it, if I make a bad decision, then at least I have some people around me who can help take credit for it. So let me just turn this around and ask you a question this morning. Who are the doormen in your life? Who are the doormen in your life? Who are those men, those women in your life who love you and who believe in you? And who are the kind of people that you go to when you have a big decision to make in your life? Who are those people? Or maybe let me ask it to you this way. Who's holding you accountable in your life for good decision making? We love that word, don't we? Accountable. That word's exciting. Accountability. Don't you just wake up in the morning and go, man, who can I be accountable to today? No, we don't like accountability until you understand how beneficial it is. But it's quite a word, isn't it? Because sometimes when you say accountability, people think all kinds of things. You know, I mean, like growing up in church, it was like, do you have an accountability partner? And that was like the person who, like, okay, guys would be like, okay, did you think naughty thoughts? And or, you know, women, did you, you know, whatever women do, I don't even know. But I mean, you know, someone want to, once you, let me tell me maybe what you guys, oh, gossip, you guys, women gossip, okay, well, maybe you do, I guess, no one else is agreeing with you, no, wow, we're really going downhill here, bad decision, Scott, but here's the thing, when I say accountability, I'm not saying criticism is not the same thing as accountability. I didn't say ripping someone apart, because that's not the same thing as accountability. Look, accountability, at least in the type of accountability that the scriptures talk to us about, is one that flows out of love. It's one that flows out of relationship. And it flows out of a handful of loyal doormen in your life who can help you and assist you in making good, solid decisions. And I'll tell you, that right there, I would say, is one of the most distinguishing factors that separate the great decision makers from the poor decision makers. Doormen. The people who hold us accountable in our lives. But see, here's the thing. It's not just about having the people. It's about having the people at the right time in your life. I mean, seriously, think about this. Have you ever noticed how we tend to bring people in on the back end of the decision? Oh, yeah. Have you ever noticed that? Instead of bringing them in when we really ought to before we make the decision, or maybe just at least as we're in the process, for Pete's sake, of making the decision, have you ever noticed we do that? And what happens is we go out and we make this huge solo decision in our life, okay, that we should have never made in the first place without getting some input from people. And what happens is we go out, we make that major decision in our lives, and then because it turns out to be the wrong one, what do? Well, then we go to the people. We go to those doormen and we say, okay, now I better get some people around me who can help me clean up the mess that I've made. Yeah, I'm preaching better than y'all responding. No, but seriously, we get it flipped around, don't we? We mess up bad. We make decisions And then we get people, and here's the thing, if we got people that come to us and say, you know what, gosh, I made a decision, I screwed up, I should have consulted, and I got this mess, you know what, we should be good people, we should be followers of Jesus, we should show mercy, we should show grace, we should be involved, but let me tell you, that is a backwards way to make decisions. I mean, I've known people like this. I mean, I got a couple people in my life right now who I just wish they would have just asked the question or had said, hey, I'm thinking about this. Why didn't you ask me? Well, because I knew what you'd say. Well. I mean, what the pattern should be in our lives is to bring those people around us on the front end, or at least as the decision is being made. And I'll tell you, the reason I think so many people don't do this is because we don't like accountability or sometimes pride. I mean, really, why are we not bringing people around us? I think a lot of times it's just because accountability is not automatic in our lives, is it? It was when we were kids. I mean, your mom and dad hold you accountable. You go to school, right? The teacher holds you accountable. Maybe you're on a sports team, the coach holds you accountable. But then what happens? What happens? We get older, right? And we graduate high school. We go to college, maybe we enter the workforce, we go in the military, whatever, and suddenly what happens is we're out on our own and we are now independent. And somewhere along the way, we make the mistake to believe that somehow independence is the same thing as maturity. Some of you are like, dang it, I wish my 19-year-old was here right now. But seriously. And suddenly what happens is we find ourselves in this place of life where we are no longer asking for input from people. We are no longer seeking advice, because what happens is we get this crazy idea that to ask advice or input means that we're not mature, when really just the opposite is what's true. And so for most of us in this room today, accountability for most of us here today is not automatic, which means that we have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and take initiative and invite people around us who really believe in us and who care about us and who hold us accountable. I'm telling you, this is not just some good idea. This is not something that, you know, well, that's nice, that's Scott's opinion. Listen, this is not Scott's opinion. This is what the scriptures say. In fact, let me show you a couple scriptures. I mean, read Proverbs. And Proverbs is full of this kind of wisdom that tells you these things. I mean, if you think about, you know, Proverbs written by the wisest man in the world. And let me show you, Proverbs 24, verse 5. You should write these down. They might be in your notes, but these would be ones to really think a lot about. Proverbs 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong and is better than a strong man. In other words, a strong man without wisdom. A wise man is strong, and he's better off than a person who's strong that has no wisdom. And a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. Now listen to verse 6. For by wise counsel you can wage your war. And listen, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. Yeah, I think it's so powerful. In abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. In abundance of, or you could say an abundance of doormen, there is victory, there is safety. Again, over in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, pride leads to conflict. That's interesting, isn't it? Part of the reason we don't go to people a lot of times is because of pride, right? Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. It's interesting because it almost like parallels the two, right? It's like pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. In other words, if you don't take advice, it's probably pride. Another one, Proverbs 11, verse 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. I'm telling you, over and over and over again, there are so many. But the bottom line is that you and I need these doormen in our lives. Because again, why? Because great decisions bring great what? Blessing. And great blessing in our life gives us the opportunity to be a blessing to others. And so this isn't just about you and your life and that you're going to have some tough things that happen when you make bad decisions. This is about people who may miss out on something you have in your life that they need. So much greater than just you. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you, in fact, if you have your pens, I have a pen, just grab that if you would, and take out your card that you got this morning. And I want to give you a couple things to write down. And what I want to do is give you three or four things, and there's probably way more we could come up with today. But I want to give you three or four things to look for when it comes to the people that you need to surround your life with. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sharing these out of my own personal journey today. Because I can honestly say that I have got some incredible people around me in my life who have saved my butt over and over and over again. I just woke somebody up by saying butt in church. Like, what did he say? But in all seriousness, I can tell you that God has really blessed me in my life. And as I've taken steps in my life to go to people and say, I'm giving you permission to hold me accountable. Because, see, accountability is a funny thing. People think, you know, accountability is about relationships. You can have a system of accountability, and it may not make any difference in your life. Think about, and this is just close to me because I'm a pastor, but think about pastors you've read about that have had, like, moral failure in their lives. They had accountability. But if there's no relationship connecting that accountability, it doesn't matter. You can have 50,000 people that are holding you accountable, but if there's no relationship, it really doesn't matter. And so I'm talking about the people in my life who hold me truly accountable, who I have relationship with. And when I look at that group of people, there's three or four things that when I look at them, I say, you know what? They all have these things going on. They all have these, and I think these are things that we need to look for when it comes time to bringing people around us. So let me give you these to write down. First of all, that core group of people in my life who are closest to me, those doormen in my life, are all committed followers of Jesus. They are all followers of Jesus. Now, I got tons of friends who are not followers of Christ, but they are not the ones who I bring right around me. And I'll tell you why. And it's not because the people who are followers are better than those who aren't. It's because, okay, when it comes to the people who are going to be speaking into my life and who are going to be helping me with major decisions in my life, it is really important to me that they are spiritually in tune with their Creator. Okay, and I mean, I want to know that they have their ears turned outward to the voice of God. And I want to know that they're growing in the wisdom of Jesus, because I believe that following Jesus is the best way to live our lives. And so I want someone who really believes that that's the truth. And so I would encourage you, as you look for those doormen in your life, as you look for those people in your life, look for the people who are on the same journey that you're on. That doesn't mean that you don't befriend people. In fact, you need to. You need to have people in your life who don't know God. If all you have are Christian friends, you need to pull out a needle and pop that bubble that you're living in, and you need to get out and you need to meet people who don't know God. Because you and I have a responsibility to do that and have influence on people who are not yet followers of Jesus. But I'm talking about the people who are closest to you in your life need to be followers of Christ. Here's another one, okay? These doormen in my life, here's something else I've noticed with them. They're all really great encouragers. And they just really know how to encourage me. Every one of them, they encourage the daylights out of me constantly. Now, they're also honest with me. Sometimes I think, you know, it's easy to surround yourself with people who are just going to tell you what you want to hear. Or surround yourself with yes people. Okay, I don't want that. I want people who are going to be honest with me. And if I'm getting ready to make a stupid decision, are going to say, Scott, you are getting ready to make a stupid decision. I'm not going to let you do it. I want people who are going to be honest with me, but who are also for me. Because there's some people, there's a difference in someone who's honest with you and they love you and they're for you than someone who is honest with you and just wants to beat the daylights out of you and make you feel bad because they're just insecure. Right? I mean, there's a big difference. And so I want people around me who are going to be just downright honest, but I know they love me. I know they care for me. I mean, I'm telling you, those are the people I listen to. Those are the people who are honest, and they're for me. And you know what? There are a lot of other little voices out there that try to get my ears. There's voices of discouragement. There's voices of criticism. There are emails of discouragement. There are emails of criticism. There are Google things. Don't Google yourself. Don't do it. It's bad. But you know what? I've had to make a decision in my life that I am going to listen and I'm going to surround myself with people who love me, support me, and care for me. Those are the people who I'm going to listen to. Critical people, okay? Discouraging people, they aren't for me. They aren't for me. They are against. So I don't. They're not my doormen. The doormen are the people who are honest but who love me and care for me. You guys hear what I'm saying? That's who you need in your life. And if you got a bunch of people in your life who's a discouragement to you, if you got people every time you talk to them you feel down, you know what? You need to get them out of your inner circle. And still love them, still care for them the best you can, but you need to replace them with people who love you and are for you, okay? Let me move on. The next one is this. These doormen in my life are also confidential. They're confidential. And in other words, I can talk openly with them about anything in my life and not worry that it's going to show up on somebody's blog in 3 days. I mean, seriously, or worry about that, you know, they're going to run around because they feel good now that they've got some information that other people don't have. No way. I surround myself with people who know how to listen and who know how to help, but also know how to keep their mouth shut. And so confidentiality is huge. And so what happens too is there's this, I know with this relationship I have with these people in my life, these doormen, there's a tremendous sense of safety that if I'm going through a struggle, if I'm dealing with something, I'll tell you, if you don't have that, you're setting yourself up for failure. I mean, I can't tell you how many people, public figures who I know of, who have failed morally or have failed financially or whatever, and they wanted help. They did not want to be doing what they're doing, but they didn't have anyone around them they felt like they could trust. And so having people around you, and I can tell you I do, as your pastor, you need to know that. I have people around me that I know if I'm struggling with something, I don't have to wait until it gets so bad that there could be some real problems heading our way. But I can talk and say, you know what, I am struggling with this. I need some help. Hold me accountable. And you know, for me, one of the areas that happened recently and was criticism. Little voices of criticism in my life. And what happened was I began opening my ears up to those voices of criticism. And I began to go on the internet. I type my name in just so everybody would, people who are saying things about me and whatever. And I tell you, that consumed me. And it was just, it was tough. I'd be out mowing my grass and thinking about these people. I'll kill them. Bring them down to Chinatown, or then you start thinking like someone who actually does love you says something, you're like, you hate me, don't you? You're critical. No, they're not. They love you. But now what's happened is you've smudged your lenses, and everything you see now is everybody's being critical. And so I've had friends. I said, look, you got to help me because I'm diving into to criticism, and I'm drowning in it. You got to help me. And so, I mean, I'm just being really honest with you guys this morning. That's the kind of stuff we need to have people in our lives who hold us accountable in those kind of ways. So they need to be confidential. They need to be able to be quiet. They need to be able to keep things to themselves. Here's the last one, okay? And I hope this comes across right, and I'm going to do my best to say it the right way. But when it comes to those who are closest to me in my life, they are the same sex that I am. Okay, they're the same sex that I am. In case you're wondering, I'm male. If you were wondering, would you just come talk to me afterwards, by the way? No, but here's the thing. It's just smart to have people around you who, and when I say the same people who are the same sex as you, don't get me wrong. Okay, there are women who speak into my life all the time. There are women who have helped me tremendously and are encouragers to me all the time. No doubt about that. But when it comes to that small handful of people in my life, when it comes to those doormen in my life, okay, it is going to be men. And the only woman that's going to be that close to me is my wife. That's it. And women, same thing. Look, surround yourself with that close-knit women, okay? Men, surround yourself with men. It doesn't mean you can't be friends with people of the opposite sex. It doesn't mean that you can't have women, men, guys, you can't have girls in your life who are not girlfriends, friends who are girls. Wow. But when it comes to these people who are very close to you, it needs to be people who are the same sex. It's just smart. It keeps the door shut for all kinds of things that the enemy would love to do in your life. And you know what? If you're married and if you're a guy and your best friend, you got to be careful. If your best friend's another woman, you got to be careful with that. I don't even open the door for that to happen in my life. I don't want a best friend. I want my wife to be my best friend. And so anyway, the people who are closest to me are followers of Jesus, are encouragers, are confidential, and they are the same sex. And I'm sure there's more. You might have your own. We'd love to hear them. Email us. We'll put them on the blog. I'm sure there's other things that you look for in your life. But these are the things that in my life were the four big ones that I came up with because I just didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this weekend. No, I'm totally kidding. You're like, is he serious? Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you a couple questions to write down. If you would take these home with you and write these down just to think about them and answer them. Here's the first one. When was the last time I talked to someone about the private areas of my life? Write that down. When was the last time that I talked to someone about the private areas of my life? Okay, when was the last time? Was it last week? Was it a month ago? Was it a year ago? Was it never? You wouldn't believe how many people have told me that before, that they've never had someone in like this in their life. When was the last time? Number two, second question. I'll repeat them again. What is the pattern of decision-making in your life? What is the pattern of decision-making in my life? What's your track record look like? I mean, look back over the last year. Look back over the last, look back the last 6 months even. What has the pattern been? How does your track record look? Does it seem like that you've made a lot of great decisions? And if that's the case, great. Keep growing in that. Try to identify why you're making great decisions. Or does it seem like, even you look back over the last year, that it was like, man, just one bad decision after another. If that's the case, then take and apply these things to your life, because they'll help you go the other direction, okay? Because you're either growing as a greater decision maker, or you are eventually slipping into becoming a worse and worse decision maker. There's not a whole lot of gray right there. I mean, it's like you're either going this way or you're going that way. And God wants to help you go that way. So what is the pattern of decision-making in your life? Number three, who is someone outside of my family to whom I can give and receive wise counsel? Who is someone outside of my family to whom I can give and receive wise counsel? Just think of one person. I mean, who do you have in your life that you can receive wise counsel and give? Look, I mean, the reason I say outside of your family is because it's easy sometimes to just say, well, I'm married, and so that's the person I go to. But you know what? Usually you don't. Seriously. Or there's things that, guys, that you're going to be struggling with in your life that women just are not going to understand. I mean, there's a lot of things they don't understand about us. And vice versa, right? But I mean, that's the bottom line. There's just times you need another, guys, you need another man in your life that you can talk about something with, and they can identify you with you in a way that a woman can't. And if I need to get into the details of why a woman can't identify with certain things, Google it. Okay? Now, so you need to surround yourself with people who, and have people who are outside of your family. And let me just say, if you can't think of anybody, and if you're sitting here today, maybe you're sitting here and you just feel horrible right now because you've made a lot of bad decisions in your life. There is hope, okay? Don't leave here discouraged. Leave here hopeful, because this is good news for you today. God's brought you here today. You're not here by accident. And so he wants you to take what you've heard, and he's going to take this, and he's going to shoot this out to everybody here in a little bit of a different way. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. And so you digest it. Go home, wrestle with it. If there's something you're struggling with, take it home. That's okay. And if you can't think of anybody in your life right now who's around you that you can really pour out to, I want to pray for you today. I really do. I want to pray for you, and I want to ask God to bring someone in your life. Or maybe there's already someone in your life, you just haven't identified with them yet. I want to pray that God would show you who that would be, because you need doormen in your life. I'm telling you, this is such important stuff, because again, great decisions bring what? Great blessing. And we were created so that we could be a blessing to others. The reason God blesses you is not just so you can be happy all the time. The reason God blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. And so that means the better decisions we make, the more lives we can impact in a positive way. Doesn't that excite you to think about that? Your family, your friends, people you don't even know. I mean, and that's the kind of life that is worth making great decisions for right there. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads this morning. Just take a moment, just where you're at, if you would. Just think about some of the questions I just threw out to you here. When was the last time you talked to someone about the private areas of your life? How about your decision making? Maybe just take a look. Don't beat yourself up. If you've got a bad track record right now, don't do it for that reason. But just look at your life. Look at the last year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Does it seem like you tend to make great decisions, or is there a pattern of not so great? And then the third question that I think is so important, who's someone outside of your family that can give you, and you can give them, wise counsel? God, today we just bow our hearts before you. And we recognize that your word is so practical. And you really do want us to make great decisions in our lives. And God, I want to pray for a couple groups of people today. I want to pray for those who are here, and maybe they're feeling guilty, they're just feeling discouraged because they made a bunch of bad decisions in their life. God, would you just remind them right now that you love them regardless, and that there's nothing we can do to cause you to love us more than you do right now. When we make bad decisions, God, you still love us. When we make great decisions, you still love us. Not more because we made great decisions. You love us. You love us unconditionally, God. Help us to get that. And I pray, God, for those who are here today, maybe who just are feeling bad because they don't have that person in their life who they can go to. God, would you guide them and direct them? Would you bring those people around them? Maybe for some people, it's just a matter of them taking that step of faith in their life, breaking out of their comfort zone and saying, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to that person who I know. They're someone who's safe. They're someone who I can talk to. God, maybe for others, it's a matter of taking that step of getting involved here at the church so they can build relationships. Maybe it's just about saying, you know what, today I'm ready to follow Jesus. God, would you help all of us today to take that next step, whatever it might be? God, help us to become great decision makers. Because when we make great decisions, we experience great blessing. And since we were created to be a blessing to others, God, it sets us up to be able to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And together as a community, we just pray and we ask these things now in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.